Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Because the Bible said Abraham believed it was imputed to him for righteousness. Righteous people can't go to hell. Righteous people can't be lost. He believed it was imputed to him for righteousness. I believe that we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ alone. That's how we get saved, is by faith. However, that faith must be true faith and not pseudo faith. It has to be the genuine article. The Apostle Paul, don't you love Paul? He's an amazing man. You know, every day I read something from the, every day I'll read something from the Apostle Paul, and every day I learn something from the Apostle Paul. And I'm not sure he knew how wise he was, because he was brilliant, educated, wise, but more than that, he was anointed of the Holy Ghost, inspired of God to write these words. And so he writes us something that is vitally important for each one of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourself. What that really means is judge your brother and sister and make sure that they're just like you. No, that's not what that means. That means leave them alone. Examine yourself. One reason we don't want to judge our brother and sister is because it takes away from the time we should be examining ourselves. Examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. The Apostle Paul, I like him, he uses extreme language. He says, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be a minor Christian, a weak Christian. No. Strongly, except you be a reprobate. Pretty tough. Pretty tough. A reprobate. That's pretty tough language. That's about the worst thing you can call somebody in the Christian language is a reprobate. But Paul makes the distinguishing between genuine faith and reprobates. Not just genuine faith and kind of faith. It's an extreme comparison he uses. Saying we are a believer does not necessarily make us a believer. I know that in this day and time you can self-identify. I'm a 16-year-old girl if I want to be. That's what the government says. I can identify that. And all of you look at me and say, you are the ugliest little girl I've ever seen. This is a stupid game we're playing of self-identifying as something we're not. Simply not. But it's been played in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God for a long time. People saying that they are true believers when they are not believers at all. Jesus warned of that way back 2,000 years ago in Matthew 15 and 8. He said, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's what he was talking about. People that said, I have faith, I believe, but they didn't really believe. They were not true believers. The Apostle Paul warns us again in 1 Corinthians 3:18, let no man deceive himself. You know, you can deceive your preacher, you can deceive your spouse, but the worst thing you can do is deceive yourself. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Jesus warned us one time. I forgot the verse. I think it's Matthew 23 and 23, I think. But Jesus warned us that there will be an entire block of people that will contend that they had faith, and he will disown every one of them. He will say, they will say, man, we had faith. We cast out devils in your name. We did many wonderful works. Jesus said, I never knew you. Jesus, using the word there, I never had a relationship with you. God only has relationship with true believers. The enemy's unfeigned faith. Unfeigned faith is the real article. It is the currency of heaven. It's what causes heaven to respond to your prayers, your worship, your attendance, your love, your giving. Everything is done because of unfeigned faith. It is the currency of heaven. But the enemies of unfeigned faith, I would say the number one enemy is ignorance. People simply do not know. I'm talking about Christian folk. They simply do not know, and the reason why they don't know, Jesus said it very succinctly. He said, the blind lead the blind, and they both fall in the ditch. I'm surprised, amazed, and disappointed when I watch Christian television how much truth is actually taught. It's so much other things that are taught. And you understand, I said this the other day, but you understand a TV ministry, a national, international, and a national television are tremendously expensive. I knew a man that would, the Assembly of God, one of the finest men I ever knew. He was in East Texas and many years ago, 40 years ago, when television was in its infancy as far as Christian ministry. He started in. It wasn't very long until he owed $6 million, and all he had was a local church. It took him 25 years to pay off that $6 million, and he was off the air. That's how expensive it is. It's very expensive. And so what happens to well-meaning, misguided preachers is they go on the media, and they simply can't fund their own ministry, and so they realize that there are certain candy sticks, and they reach out to those candy sticks because when they preach on those subjects, they get revenue. And so it becomes a catch-22. They can't preach truth. They've got to preach what is popular that they can have money so they can preach again. And so it's actually a waste of time and a worthless ministry. And worse than that is a deceptive ministry. And so Jesus warns about that. So the enemies of unfeigned faith is ignorance. They simply don't know. The second is they're afraid. And the third is rebellion. There's probably others, but those are the big three that keep people from having genuine faith, unfeigned faith, of having fake faith, acid test. What does that phrase mean? A conclusive test of the success or value of something. Well, that's what we need for our faith is the acid test. Because if you have faith, there is no way to help you understand how valuable it is. But if you have feigned faith or fake faith, there is no way to tell you how fatal and deceptive and destructive it is. So it's so important that we apply an acid test to our own faith, not somebody else's faith, but our own. And the Apostle Paul said, examine yourself. So the question is, how many feigned or unfeigned believers do we have? I'd say we have a lot more feigned believers than we have unfeigned believers. Faith without obedience is feigned faith. So I believe God. But there is no fruit of that faith in disobedience. Yea, a man, Jesus' half-brother said, yea, a man, say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Let's look at this little story. I love this story. Paul and Silas are in jail. It's hopeless. It's helpless. And they do the most amazing thing. They begin to pray and worship. And when they do, God is God. He comes down and fills that praise with his spirit. The jail shakes. The doors come off. Revival happens. The jailkeeper is gloriously saved. That's what happens. And here's the story. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do? This is the jailkeeper. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they, being Paul and Silas, said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. So that's where we stop in the modern Christian philosophy. But it didn't stop there. They spake unto him at the word of the Lord, and they that were in his house. Now keep in mind, this is not happening at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning. This is happening at midnight on a work day. And they had a Bible study and spake unto him the word of the Lord and all that were in his house. And they took them at the same hour of the night, which was midnight, it already says in verse 25, took them at the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Why would that happen? Because we are living in a time when evangelical Christianity, which is the apex of Christianity, would tell you that baptism has little or no significance. And yet at midnight, and I'm going to tell you what, they didn't have Chevys and Fords to pull out to the river and turn their headlights on. They was out there with little old sticks burning, trying to light it enough to get down in that water. What's the point I'm making? The point I'm making is how significant it is that we are obedient to the gospel to validate our faith. The midnight baptism establishes the urgency of faith validation. Years ago in Illinois, we had an amazing, just a little, I mean, a little bitty old church. And I got there because relatives are there. And God came down. I wasn't supposed to preach at all. I was there visiting family. And they coerced me to preaching. And we ended up being there for 2 weeks. And hundreds of people got saved in that meeting. And one of the people that came was a older woman. She's probably, I don't know, I thought she's ancient of days because I was a kid. She's probably like real old, like 50. But I never will forget her. She came down at the altar and she said, "Pastor Steve, I'm saved. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. My son's an Assembly of God preacher, pastor." But she said, "I've never been baptized in water. And the reason why I haven't been, I'm hydrophobic. I'm literally deathly afraid of water." And she said, "I've never been baptized." But she said, "During these few nights, I've overcome my fear, and I want you to baptize me." And she was very crippled in her leg, very crippled, like I am now, only worse, and been that way for years and years. And so I put her in those baptismal waters and baptized her, and when I did, she began to scream, "God has done something." And that problem she had, that injury she'd had in her leg and malfunctioned her leg, had been with her for nearly her lifetime, was totally healed. I mean, that leg was totally normal. So did the water do that? No. Faith did that. But faith has to be obedient. And so when you are fearful, when you're ignorant, when you're rebellious, it will show up in your faith. And it will prove that you are confessing you have faith when you really don't have faith. So let me give you some tools for self-examination, not of your husband's faith or your wife's faith, but your faith. Your faith. Examine yourself. Somebody said, "Well, I've got great faith." Faith without prayer does not believe that God hears. You know, if I believe that I could get a hold of some kind of a check that Mr. Biden is passing out like candy, and I don't fit in any of the categories, I'd get his phone number and call him tonight. Number one, I don't believe I can get his phone number. Number two, he's not going to take my call. Number three, he's not going to send me a check. So I'm going to waste my time. That's exactly the way Christians are that don't pray. And the reason why they don't pray is they don't have unfeigned faith. They have feigned faith. If you really got unfeigned faith, if you believe that you can talk to the creator of the universe, the creator of the stars, and you've got a little sick daughter, you would go to prayer immediately. If you can't put food on the table, you would go to prayer immediately if you had unfeigned faith. But if you've got feigned faith, you won't do that. And so faith without prayer does not believe that God hears. 1 Peter 3:12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous." And so let's leave the feigned faith people behind. Let's talk about you and me. "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." God's ears are open to my prayer. And so why should we have to assign people to pray? Why should we have to assign people a time to pray? Why should we have to call a prayer meeting? If we have faith that God's ears are open to the righteous, we will bother him with ever. Do you ever get anybody's phone number that you shouldn't have? It's so funny. I spent some time with Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys. And I spent time with his son, Jerry Jr. And we were taken there by Bum Phillips, another NFL coach. And so I was with a guy one time, and I said, "Hey," I said, "you want to go down and see the Cowboys practice tomorrow?" And he said, "How would you arrange it?" I said, "I'd call Jerry Jones Jr." And he said, "You don't have his number." I said, "Watch this." I called this number. The woman said, Jerry Jones Jr.'s office. I said, "Ma'am, this is Dr. Fender. This might be the only time. I don't even play one on TV. I'm not a real doctor. This might be the only time. I'm not like Andrew Willis. He's Dr. Andrew Willis all the time. He gets on an airplane, somebody has a heart attack, and they run out of the aisle. Dr. Willis, he has to admit, I'm not that kind of doctor. What kind of doctor are you, Andrew? That'd be a good question. And so I said, this is Dr. Phillips. I said, I was with Jerry Jones a little while back, and I said, he gave me this number and said, if I ever need anything to call him, I said, I need some tickets to get into this. And she said, oh, that's fine. She said, just go to so-and-so, and they'll be available to you. I hung up. That guy said, you really know him? I said, no, I really don't. I met him one time, but he made the mistake of giving me his phone number. Oh, friend, let me tell you what. Not only does God number the hairs on my head, I've got God's personal phone number. And I believe, see now, if I have feigned faith, I won't ever call him. But if I've got unfeigned faith, if I've got a hangnail, it's a reason for a phone call. It's a reason for a prayer. It's a reason for me to say, I'm going to talk to God about this hangnail. Because I talk to him about hangnails or cancers. It don't matter. And it doesn't matter to God because you are the apple of his eye. You're not a bother to God. God is only insulted when you, as the righteous, do not avail yourself to his open ears. And so if you have unfeigned faith, you're going to be a person of prayer. And so don't examine somebody else. Examine yourself. How much do you pray? I preached a sermon 20 years ago in the old building. You pray more than you think. And if you're really a Christian, you do. You don't realize what a nuisance you're being to somebody that you're a nuisance to. They realize it, but you don't. But you just avail yourself to them because you consider them a friend, an advocate, a family member, or whatever. And so you call all the time. I call Brandon more than he calls me. I call my dad more than he called me. My dad was so funny on the telephone. He'd call you, say, Steve, about five words he'd hang up. He never said goodbye or nothing. I used to call him all the time, but the problem was he'd always hang up in the middle of the conversation. He never said goodbye, just hang up. But I avail myself to people that can help me. And so you pray more than you think. You not only pray in church or before you go to bed or when you get up. If you are a real unfeigned faith person, you pray at stoplights. You pray before you get out of your car to go into an office. You pray before you step out to go into a doctor's office. You are like the Apostle Paul. You don't have an assigned prayer time. You pray without ceasing. Just call on the Lord any time. Examine yourself. If you don't have that kind of an experience or relationship with the Lord, you don't really have faith. Because if you have real faith, you are going to be a pest to God. I mean, you're going to be calling him all the time. Not David said, I praise him seven times a day. That's just a minimal thing. Praise God. If you are a real faithful person, you're calling God about everything. You talk to God about your kids, your spouse, your job, your health, your money, your joy. You're just talking to God all the time. Examine yourself. Am I a person of prayer? Not do I have a prayer time, but do I have a prayer life? There's a big difference between a prayer time and a prayer life. Number two, faith without praise does not believe that God inhabits praise. Simply don't believe it. I know Christian folk that just never praise. They just sit there like mummies. It wouldn't matter. Heaven comes down. The best choir in the world could be singing. The greatest preacher could be preaching. And they sit there just like they're a cadaver. I mean, never move a muscle. The reason why is they don't have faith that anything happens when they praise. But if you've got unfeigned faith, you really believe that something happens when you praise. And you believe that because the Word of God says so. O thou inhabitest the praise of Israel, fear the Lord, praise him, all ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. When you praise God, if you have faith, you will praise God. And this is the faith that you have. That heaven stands still, that angels salute, that demons tremble, that spirits flee, the things are liberated. Doors are open. Doors are closed. But most of all, God himself says in one Chan Trun, I love this Chinese translation, that God sets his chair in the middle of your praise. You believe that your hallelujah makes a difference. You believe that your praise, the Lord, makes a difference. You believe that your song makes a difference to whether you're going to be attended by demons or angels. You really believe that. Why? Because you have unfeigned faith. But people that have feigned faith, they don't do that. They say, well, I'm a believer. But they never lift a hand. They never open their mouth. They never sing a song. They never dance a dance. They never holler hallelujah. They don't do it in church. They don't do it at home. They don't do it in their car. They just don't praise God because they have feigned faith. But we that are fanatics, we that are Holy Ghost filled, we that walk in this thing every day, we praise God everywhere. We praise him in the sanctuary. We praise him in the firmament of his power. We praise him on the job. We praise God in the hospital room. We praise God in the, we're like Paul and Silas. Put us in jail and we'll turn it into a church, praise God, because we have unfeigned faith and we believe that our hallelujahs mean. They mean something, praise God. I believe my hallelujahs are more powerful than an AR-15. I believe my praise is more powerful than the weapons. My weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. And so I praise God because I believe it matters in my life and everybody around me and the place that I am. I believe I can control the balance of power and create the climate that I desire by praising God. Somebody that has unfeigned faith, I dare you to praise God right now. I dare you to glorify God right now. Praise God, praise God. It's so hard to replace good people. Today, Sister Diana, she's on vacation, and she was replaced by the sweetest lady. She's new to our church, Amanda, and it's just so great when somebody steps up to replace somebody. I just want to know where Lauren Adams' replacement is. Somebody told me the other day, said, when you was preaching, said, I almost pulled a Lauren Adams. I almost run this building. Oh, we need some replacement praisers. We've lost some good praisers. Some of them moved. Some of them went to heaven. We need some replacement praisers, praise God. Some people that say, my praise is going to make a difference. My shout's going to make a difference. My hallelujah is going to make a difference because I have unfeigned faith and I believe that God will settle down, that God will come down, that God will inhabit my praise if I praise him. Faith without giving does not believe that God receives or that God opens the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing. If you don't give, you don't believe that. You simply don't believe that. And here, men that die receives tithe. That would be me. That would be Pastor Brand. That would be pastors. Here, men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. A real tithe giver gives it to the church, to the leader, the pastor of that church, but he believes in faith that there is actually a record of it in heaven and God received. That's what the Bible said. And ladies and gentlemen, I had a friend that was a pastor of a major church, and he told me, he said, I don't tithe. He said, once you get into ministry, he said, you don't have to tithe. Well, there's a guy that doesn't even deserve to be in the pulpit. He doesn't even understand the concept of king living because you don't have to tithe. A friend of mine was totally broke. I thought this was so funny. He was in a restaurant in Houston called Houston's. I don't know if you've ever been. It's a great restaurant. He looked over, and Joel Osteen was eating dinner. I don't know if you know or not, but he's got a few dollars. My friend had almost no money. He went over and insisted that he buy Joel's dinner, which is pretty expensive for Joel and his friend in Houston. It's probably $75 for lunch. And he went over and said, he's broke. I said, why did you do that? He said, I considered it a real privilege to buy his lunch. Well, maybe it is. But I consider it a real privilege that the God that owns a cattle on a thousand hill He owns the universe. The sun belongs to him. The moon is his. Every blade of grass, every sparrow that flies, every songbird, all of the beauty of creation, every rainbow, every human that's ever lived, every angel, he owns it all. And yet God receives, according to my Bible, receives my tithe. And so my faith says that when I tithe, and I tithe regularly to this church, like tonight I tithe, and I break mine up a different way. Every offering I give and every service I tithe in, I just want to do that. I want to be able to sow seed all the time. It's a perpetual. The reason why is I don't want to be blessed and stop, blessed and stop. I want my blessing to be not a deposit. I want it to be a flow. And praise God it is. I was talking to a friend of mine that's probably watching. We have people watching all over the world. So I was talking to somebody that's never darkened the doors of this church, but I've known her for so long. And she said, I watch you, Pastor, every week. And she said, man, Pastor Brandon is such a great preacher. And so she was talking about how she lives so far from a spirit-filled church, she can't go to church. But anyway, the people that are watching and seeing this, I want you to know that God is your God. And I believe that the Word of God is true. And so I tithe not to keep the church going. That's a benefit. I tithe to keep my blessing going because I believe that the church can use it, but I believe spiritually God receives it because that's what His Word says. Because I have unfeigned faith that my money given translates into money back to me only multiplied. It's bigger than when I gave it. Praise God. I believe that God opens the windows of heaven and pours me out a blessing. That means more than you can receive. What does that mean? That means a savings account. That is your guarantee. If you will be what God wants you to be in faith and tithing and offering and giving, that you'll have a savings account. You say, I don't have a savings account. Something's wrong in your life. Either you ought to have a hollow mattress where you can stuff it in it, or you ought to have a savings account because God said more than you can use. Praise God. Faith without regular church attendance does not believe His promise that He will be in our midst. The reason why people are not here tonight is they don't believe God's word, and they have feigned faith as opposed to unfeigned faith. And they don't believe that God is here. There are people. We could announce certain people. If I could say T.D. Jakes was here, the goofball. He's amazing. He's just very successful, but he's just crazy. He announced in his church in Chicago, Oprah Winfrey will be here next Sunday. Well, number one, he lied. He knew Oprah wasn't going to be there. And so next Sunday, he can't get the people in the building. They're standing in the halls. They're standing in the aisles. He never mentioned to it. He just started preaching. The people were so disappointed, they started drifting away. He started preaching to thousands and ended up preaching to hundreds as they realized that Oprah was not really coming. He just lied to them. It was terrible. He's done a lot of terrible things. But the point is, if Oprah was going to be here, there'd be some people here tonight that are not here. If Donald Trump was here, there'd be some people here that are not here, and there'd be some people here that wouldn't be here. If the right personality is here, certain people appear. But if we really believe God's word is true, forsake not the assembling of yourself together in the 21st century as you see the day approaching, even as the manner of some is. And when two or three people gather in my name, I'll be in their midst. Feigned faith simply does not believe that. But unfeigned faith says, I believe that when I go to God's house, He is there. Whether I can see Him or not, whether I can feel Him or not, He is there. And I don't know about you, but the Bible said in His presence is fullness of joy. And I started out the service by talking about benefits. I believe there is great benefit in His presence. And I believe attending and congregating with people of like precious faith guarantees his presence. And so there is tremendous benefit in coming to God's house. And there is expectation. And my faith simply says, because I come to God's house, good things are going to happen in my life. And ladies and gentlemen, I've been going to God's house for 71 years, and it ain't bad. What God has done for me would be the envy of any human being. And every day I read on Facebook of a movie star that commits suicide or a businessman that does something terrible. Their lives are just tragedies. When my life is what Jesus said it would be, it is abundant because I believe in God's Word, and I have unfeigned faith, and a big part of that is I gather together with God's people. But feigned faith says, when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord, I said, I ain't got time. I'm not interested. I'm bored. I got somewhere else I'd rather go. But unfeigned faith said, when they said to me, let's go to church, I was glad. I was excited. I anticipated something was going to happen. Are you getting anything out of this? Are you examining yourself? How about you out there watching on TV? You're not there because of COVID. You're there because you're lazy and because your recliner is more comfortable than these pews. You probably got one of those recliners that you push a button and it lifts you up on your own feet. You're too lazy to stand up now. Hey, I got news for some of you Walmart shoppers. All of you don't deserve those carts. Some of you are just too lazy to walk the aisle. And you're bumping the rest of us. That didn't cost nothing. See, that's what you miss when you don't go to church. You miss all that stupid opinions that pastors have. But praise God. Do you understand that God is saying if you have unfeigned faith and you're physically able and you call yourself a believer, a born-again believer, a spirit-filled believer, your place is in the house of God. You said, oh, I don't come because I'm too tired. Faith does not get fatigued. Faith just says, let's go anyway. Faith said, I'm going to go to God's house, and when I get there, I'm going to be a praiser. I'm going to be a worshiper. Why? I have unfeigned faith, and something's going to happen in God's house. Amen? Hallelujah. How am I doing on time? I'm just about out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me close with this one. Man, there's so many more I want to do, but let me just do this one. Faith without water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ does not believe that we're buried with him to rise and walk in the newness of life. It's just not important. Know you not, this is Paul writing, Romans 6, know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. If you hadn't been baptized, there's a real possibility you're not walking in the newness of life according to this verse. That's not my opinion. The thing about Walmart, you got to be able to understand when you go to church, you got to be able to separate the pastor's opinion and his remarks from the Word of God. The Walmart thing, go ahead and ride in your cart. The baptism thing, that's not me. That's the Word of God. Buried with him, even so we should walk in the newness of life. It is a real test of your faith. If you're a Christian and say, well, I never have been baptized, but I'm a Christian, not according to the Word of God, because your faith has never been validated. We are saved by faith alone in Jesus Christ. But faith always produces results. Faith always spawns action. Faith always has obedience. Faith always requires that you do something. Abraham was saved by faith, but he was circumcised in obedience because of his faith. If you have real faith, you will be obedient. Faith without the Holy Spirit. I told you a lie. I'm like the guy in Chicago. Faith, here's because I'm going to give you another point. Faith without the Holy Spirit does not believe on Jesus, as the Scripture says. Somebody said, well, I believe in Jesus, but not as the Scripture has said, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, this is not Walmart, this is Jesus. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Friend, when you believe on Jesus, as the scripture has said, it won't take anybody twisting your arm, shaking you, spitting on you, or doing anything else. The Holy Spirit will simply come out of you like a river. You will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you are a true believer in Christ, not as the Pentecostal church says, or the Baptist or the Catholic, but as the scripture has said, you will receive the Holy Spirit. A friend of mine told me that her little daughter-in-law, which is never raised around the church, but she's heard about it recently, she saw it in the scripture, and she said, she's a nurse, and she was going to work just a few months ago, and she said in her car alone, Lord, I do want to be filled with the Holy Spirit so badly. And God baptized her in the Holy Ghost with her driving a car behind the steering wheel by herself on the way to the hospital for her nursing duties. Friend, if you believe and it's unfeigned faith, God will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. My friend that used to be here and he's gone on to be with heaven, Sister Susie Washington's uncle, remember him, brother, was his brother, Oliver Tolliver. What a wonderful man he was. I loved Oliver Tolliver. Most of you don't remember him. I just like to say his name for one thing, Oliver Tolliver, Oliver Tolliver. You say that three times, it sounds like you got the Holy Ghost, whether you do or not. Oliver Tolliver. I loved Oliver Tolliver. He was a Baptist preacher, but he showed up at this church one day. And he said, I was watching you on television, a Baptist preacher. And he said, I've been taught against speaking in tongues all my life. But as I listened to you and I began to believe the scripture you were preaching, he said, I didn't get on my knees. He said, the Holy Ghost just came all over me. And I just raised my hand and began to speak in that heavenly language. Why? Because he was a believer, a true, unfeigned faith believer. Friend, if you have true faith, these things will happen in your life. But if you're a make-believe believer, you're not going to have these things happen. You're going to be like everybody else. I got news for you. I'm way out in front. And somebody said, are they chasing you or leading the parade? It don't matter. I'm way out in front. Praise God. I'm flying higher. I'm being blessed. What's affecting other people is not affecting me. Why? Not because my flesh is greater than their flesh. Not because I'm smarter. Not because any of those reasons. Because I have unfeigned faith that God is who he said he was. That Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe on him as the scripture has said. Sister Becky, I believe on him as the scripture has said. He is my Savior, my baptizer, my keeper, my friend. He sticks with me closer than my brother. He's my provider. He keeps my body healthy, praise God. He's given it. Oh, I was blessed today. I know that Golden Corral is not a sophisticated place to eat, but it's one of my favorite places to eat. I go three or four times a week, and I was there today. Oh, they got great mashed potatoes. You like to go? Let's go to, I can't get nobody. I have to eat alone. Would you go with me to Golden Corral? It's awesome. I was, but it was even better today. There was a young kid there, and I thought he was Tyler's age. I asked him how old he was eventually, but I thought he was about Tyler's age, but he turned out to be 26. He was a handsome little Hispanic boy. I mean, really handsome, real sharp. And so I went there, and if you go in, go about 2 o'clock. There's nobody there. You got it to yourself. And if you're a senior citizen, it's $8. Oh, you can't beat a deal like that. You say, well, I go to Ruth Chris. Oh, you're spending a lot of money, but I'm getting all I want for $8. But it was even more blessed today because this handsome little 26-year-old boy, looked like he's about 15, he said, sir, do you qualify for the senior citizen discount? Oh, man, I've never wanted to kiss a man before. I said, you made my day. He said, I didn't know whether you was old enough. He said, I think it's your hair. He said, you got nice hair. Then he wanted to kiss me. And so, nah. But I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Because I'm not ignorant of His Word. Hallelujah. Because I am not rebellious of His Word. I have unfeigned faith that everything that He said is coming to pass. And God is going to take care of me. He's going to bless me from faith to faith, to victory to victory. And then one of these days, I like somebody put it on Facebook. I wished I'd said it first. If God takes care of me, said Jesus is with me. But if I die, I'm with Jesus. And I believe that. I'm in the hollow of His hand. Nothing, not even death, can separate me from Jesus. I am an unfeigned believer. And Jesus said, will you leave me also? And they said, no, where would we go? And that's where I am. Where would you go if you left Jesus? Jesus Christ is the ultimate safety net. He is the absolute safety that we need. He is the refuge that we need. He is the all in all. I love Him. I love God's house. I love to come and gather with God's people. I love to see people praising God. I love to praise with Him. I love to pray in a prayer room, in a church service, at a stoplight, praise God. I love to write my checks out, praise God. Sister Judy, she's at her aunt's funeral this week, and so she wasn't here. She always writes out my checks for me, but she wasn't here today, and so I wrote them out myself, and I enjoyed writing those three checks out I give every Wednesday night. It wasn't something I had to do. It was something I get to do. Friend, I'm enjoying living for Jesus, and it's going to get bigger and better and better and better, and one of these days, it doth not yet appear what I shall be, but I shall be like Him. Can you stand on your feet and give God a big praise? Oh, hallelujah. So Paul said, examine yourself that you have real faith. Is there anybody in this building tonight that just wants to make a commitment to your faith and say, I want to renew my faith. I want to establish my faith. And maybe there's something in your life you're not doing. And it's not something that would be visible here tonight. But just something that you know. I need to change that. I need to manifest my faith by being baptized in water. I need to manifest my faith by developing not a prayer time, but a prayer life. I need to manifest my faith by becoming a praiser all the time. Good times and bad. Oh, friend, when you praise God when things are good, it's just a wonderful experience. But when you praise God when things are bad, it's even better because it means those things are going to change. I change things by praising God. If you're in this building tonight and you need to examine your faith and you need